I invite you to turn this morning to the book of Daniel, chapter 4. Daniel, chapter 4, found on page 1268. Let me just share a couple of things before we get into this passage of Scripture. I meant to share before the prayer a little story about Abraham Lincoln. Someone said that given all of the confusion and the moral issues in our land today, if Abraham Lincoln was alive today, he'd be turning over in his grave. That would be funny if it weren't so true, right? Or a little story about George Washington. Young family was touring Washington, D.C. They were standing on the banks of the Potomac River, and the tour guide had a silver dollar in his hand and showed the 8-9-year-old boy. He says, "How far do you think you could throw the silver dollar across the Potomac?" And he kind of agreed that maybe about 100 feet would be as far as he could throw the silver dollar. "How about your dad? How far could he throw that silver dollar across the Potomac?" "Well, we kind of agreed maybe about 100 yards. "Well, you've seen the Potomac River, right, in the news recently with a plane crash. You know it's maybe about a half a mile across." The tour guide said to the young family, "When George Washington could throw a silver dollar completely across the river." Little boy says, "No way, no way." Tour guide said, "Well, in George Washington's day, a dollar went a lot farther." How far do you think a dollar would go in God's hands? That's why when we prayed about the offering this morning, I asked God to multiply the effectiveness of our gifts and make them go a long way to build his kingdom. President's Weekend, a couple little stories to share about each of the Lincoln and Washington presidents. Now, Daniel chapter 4, it's a rather long chapter. We're going to read the chapter in its entirety, but I never apologize for reading Scripture, right? Daniel 4, long story about Nebuchadnezzar and his dream, a second dream that we find here in the book of Daniel. Chapter 1 is about Daniel refusing to eat the king's dainties and so on, and becoming promoted in the kingdom of Babylon. Chapter 2 about Nebuchadnezzar's dream about that statue, four different kinds of metals representing four different empires. Chapter 3 about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's experience of the fiery furnace. We're going to be reading chapter 4 about Nebuchadnezzar's dream about this tree. And chapter 5, handwriting on the wall. Chapter 6, Daniel in the lion's den, just to kind of give you the context of the entire book of Daniel. Daniel 4. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the nations and peoples of every language who live in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me, so I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. He is called Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said, "Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me." These are the visions I saw while lying in bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the wild animals found shelter, and the birds lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in bed, I looked, and there before me was a holy one, a messenger, coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, "Cut down the tree and trim off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it, and the birds from its branches, but let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal till 7 times pass by for him. The decision is announced by messengers. The Holy One declared the verdict so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of people. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me, but you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meanings alarm you. Belteshazzar answered, my lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the wild animals, and having nesting places in its branches for the birds, your majesty, you are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. Your majesty saw a holy one, a messenger, coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the wild animals until 7 times pass by for him. This is the interpretation, your majesty, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox and be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, your majesty, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? Even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and he ate grass like the ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble. Dear people of God, it's a classic. It's at least a children's classic. What am I talking about? Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast. Children love it. Most of them want to see it again and again. Some have seen it more than a dozen times, or maybe more. I don't know. This tree story in Daniel chapter 4 is another classic. It happens to be about a beautiful tree and a beast. Beauty and the Beast. More than that, of course, but at least those two things. A beautiful tree and a king who became a beast. Beauty and the Beast. This morning, I'm also calling this a national classic. Since this story about King Nebuchadnezzar contains a timeless lesson about nations, all nations, God is sovereign. We read over and over again in this chapter, God is sovereign, sovereign over all kings and kingdoms, prime ministers, and presidents. It took King Nebuchadnezzar 7 years to learn that lesson. This morning, we're going to relearn that lesson in slightly more than 7 minutes. I think it's safe to say that the theme of the entire book of Daniel is that God is sovereign. God is sovereign. From the exile itself, where Israel was taken from its own land into the kingdom of Babylon, to the privileged status of Daniel, first as a young man in Nebuchadnezzar's court, then as an older man in the lion's den, to the miraculous episode of Daniel's 3 friends experienced in the fiery furnace, including, of course, these dreams of King Nebuchadnezzar and the handwriting on the wall in chapter 5, God had providentially placed Daniel right there to interpret those words on the wall. God is sovereign. The entire book of Daniel is saturated with that theme. God is sovereign. Heaven rules, it says in verse 26 or verse 32. The Most High rules in the kingdoms of men and gives it to whoever he chooses. Oh, that the leaders of world nations, all nations these days, would realize the same important truth, or at least the leaders of our own nation, including and especially our president. God bless America with this realization that God rules. It still seems like yesterday, although it was more than 50, almost 60 years ago, I was 17, living for just 5 months in Nigeria. My folks were missionaries, so I was living at a boarding school in Jos. My roommate, whose name was Paul, everyone called him Turk because his last name was Terpstra, would wake up in the middle of the night in order to write down his dreams before he would forget them in the morning. In an attempt to make sense out of his dreams, he was writing his senior term paper about dreams. He tried to make sense of his own dreams. I don't think he ever did. Do you? I mean, do you know what your dreams mean? Do you even know or remember your dreams? Probably not, unless you like to wake up in the middle of the night and write them down like my friend Turk did. Most of us don't remember our dreams, and it's just as well. They don't mean much, do they? Few of them, if any of them, are significant. They don't mean anything. Oh, they might reveal something about our anxieties or our fears or our worries, or they arouse certain things that are on our mind that particular day or previous days. But by and large, our dreams don't mean a hill of beans. Most of us don't remember them anyway. There were times, though, in biblical history when God used dreams to communicate something that he wanted to communicate with his people. Examples were Jacob, who dreamed there at Bethel about that staircase or ladder that went up into heaven. Old Testament Joseph dreamed rather prophetic dreams that got him in deep doo-doo with his brothers, you remember. Or New Testament Joseph, who was warned in a dream to flee to Egypt with Mary and baby Jesus. Rather unusual, though, were those times in when God chose to reveal something to a pagan king. A pagan king! There was King Pharaoh of Egypt who dreamed about those cows and those corns that young Joseph interpreted. And 2 times here in the book of Daniel, God gave this pagan king with this long name, Nebuchadnezzar, a dream that was incredibly prophetic, right? I mean, it was as if God was saying, let me tell you how these next few years of your history, your life, will unfold. And in this case, what God had to say about this unfolding of human history was quite personal. I mean, it was very personal. It dealt with Nebuchadnezzar especially. It was his history, or rather, his future that God chose to reveal. You know, it's more about God's sovereignty, though, than anything else, right? It's a lesson for God's people, even if he didn't seem to directly concern them at that point. A lesson for God's people to remember, especially when they were released from exile. God is sovereign over all the time, over every nation. Theirs, ours, every nation. God chose in this scripture lesson to reveal his plan and sovereignty to the most powerful ruler in the world at that time, King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of this vast and powerful kingdom called Babylon, the dominant world power of that time. God chose to teach him a lesson, to humble him, to humble this proud king, to reduce the size of his influence to a little patch of grass that he was allowed to eat like a beast for 7 years, to keep him in that humble state, as the scripture says, until he learned the lesson, until he learned that he was not the most powerful person in the world, until he acknowledged the Lord and gave him the glory he should have coming. And to do this, God used a tree, a common old tree. God used a dream of a beautiful tree. It was high, it says, touching the sky, verse 11. It could be seen to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were lovely. Its fruit was abundant. The beasts of the field lived under its shade. Birds nested in its branches. Many were fed from it, it says. It was a magnificent tree. It was a magnificently beautiful tree. Until someone came along and chopped it down, cut off its branches, distributed its fruit, running off the beast and the birds, leaving only the stump. What a dream. You ever had any dream like that? Probably not. Neither have I. What a dream. Nebuchadnezzar knew it. He knew that the dream was significant and meaningful. That's why he called all of the interpreters and magicians and enchanters and so on to help him understand it. It also seemed that this dream, he knew, was ominous. That is, it had some sort of a dark meaning. That's probably why he didn't call Daniel in first, to help him understand that dream. He wasn't too eager to know what it meant. What a dream, though. And Nebuchadnezzar knew it. We know now, though, what that dream means. We read of it in Daniel chapter 4, consistent with the theme of book of Daniel. God is sovereign. Sovereign over all nations. Always has been. Always will be. God is in control, even when it doesn't appear so. It says in Proverbs 21, verse 1, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. This sentence, found in one of my commentaries, sort of made me stop and pause, really caught my attention. A man who thinks he is like a god must become a beast to learn that he's only a man. A man who thinks he's like a god must become a beast in order to learn that he's only a man. In the case of Nebuchadnezzar, God gave this dream to get that lesson across, right? Can we think of other world leaders who maybe should have similar dreams about trees or something else? Can we think of other world leaders who should be dreaming like this instead of dreaming about what they can do with all of the human power that they think they possess in their hands? This unusual dream called for an interpretation. But just like in the case of Nebuchadnezzar's earlier dream in chapter 2 about that great statue that represented those four succeeding empires, Nebuchadnezzar first consulted his wise men, who may have been useful to Nebuchadnezzar in the past, but in this case, unanimously clueless when it comes to understanding the things of God. All of their efforts proved useless. Then Daniel appears. Fortunately, Nebuchadnezzar, it seems, remembered Daniel. For it says in verse 9, Nebuchadnezzar states, I know that the Spirit of the Holy God is in you. No secret troubles you. Explain to me my dream and interpretation. And Nebuchadnezzar proceeds to tell Daniel his dream, all about the beautiful tree and the beast, beauty and the beast, how the tree was so magnificent, so tall, so strong, unfortunately cut down, how nothing was left but the stump. Suddenly, though, as we read this scripture passage, it may be rather subtle, but there's a dramatic shift in the dream. It becomes him. The stump becomes the king. Verse 15, let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let him graze with the beast on the grass of the field. It, the stump, becomes him, the king. What is going on here? It, the stump, becomes the king. Verse 16, let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast until seven times pass over him. And in the telling of this story, there's still another dramatic shift. As Daniel interprets Nebuchadnezzar's dream about this tree, Daniel states in verse 20 to 22, the tree that you saw, O king, is you. The tree is you. The tree that was tall and strong and seen by all the earth but was cut down is you. The dream is about you. God is telling you what's in store for you. The dream is personal, you see. The interpretation is even more personal. The tree is Nebuchadnezzar. Now, many of you are no doubt familiar with this time in the life of King David when the prophet Nathan came to David, told him a little story about rich man, a poor man, the poor man's only lamb, and so on, how the rich man stole the poor man's lamb and fed it to his guests, and so on. And David declares that the rich man was guilty, deserved to die. And Nathan said those infamous words, you are the man. You. Nebuchadnezzar, that tree is you. In both of these cases, kings had failed. The kings had failed to submit to the laws and government and will of this sovereign King of Kings, and so God intervened. In one case, God used a prophet and a parable. In this case, Daniel and a dream. The tree is you. God notices, responds, gets involved in the failures of world rulers. He does not sit by and wink at their failures. In some cases, he will go to great lengths to humble the proud, like in this case. And more recent history, today's, these days. When the so-called most powerful leaders in the world today flaunt the right of a sovereign God to overrule them or to rule through them, sooner or later, God will get involved. Sooner or later, God will reveal his sovereignty as he has done throughout history, time and time again. Not to overdo the dramatic shifts in this story, but we need to add another one. In the middle of the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Daniel adds two things. Being a beast will be temporary, and leaving the stump contains a promise. Verse 25, you will be like a beast for 7 years, till you know or learn that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And verse 26, the stump remains, which means your kingdom shall be restored to you after you have come to know that heaven rules. Being a beast will be temporary. Leaving the stump contains a promise. If or when Nebuchadnezzar learned the lesson that God wanted him to learn, he could be king again with his kingdom restored to him. For God is in the renewal business, right? He's in the business of renewing the whole world. He loves to renew human hearts especially, including the hearts of world leaders. He's in the renewal business, renewing the whole creation one heart at a time. Something to keep in mind. As we pray for our nation's leaders, let us be sure that we also are allowing God to renew our heart, ours. The break between verse 27 and 28 is another dramatic shift that we need to add to this list, probably the most important one. It's a year later. You catch that? It's a year later, verse 29, at the end of 12 months. Verse 28, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. His pride is still intact. Unfortunately, verse 30, just look at how great this city or kingdom of Babylon is that I have built by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty. It must have been one extra proud moment in Nebuchadnezzar's life, because whoosh, in an instant, the king is eating grass, along with his eating his words, and as we say, humble pie. Wow. Verse 31, while the words were still in his mouth, a voice came from heaven. Voice came from heaven. Nebuchadnezzar, the kingdom has departed from you. That beautiful tree was cut down. A king, one of the greatest kings of all times, is now a beast with a dew and eating grass for the next 7 years. Who could do that? Who could bring that about? God. Only God. Only God can reduce the most powerful man on earth to the status of a beast in a moment. Only God could remove this Babylonian king from his throne, humble him in this instant, teach him a lesson that other world leaders should take note of as well. Heaven rules, the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men. Now forgive me, but there's one more dramatic shift we need to add to the list. Verse 34, at the end of those 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar recalls, I lifted my eyes to heaven. My understanding returned to me. I came to my senses again. Does that remind you of any other story in the Bible? How about the prodigal son? Echoes of the prodigal son right here. Remember how he came to his senses? Remember how he remembered his father? Remember how he was living among the beasts? Remember his change of heart as he longed to eat what the pigs were eating? Recall how that humbling experience both woke him up and called him home. King Nebuchadnezzar reports, verse 36, my reason returned to me. Now I praise and extol and honor the King of heavens. People of God, the purpose of the dream was fulfilled, right? God had fulfilled the dream. The purpose of the dream had been fulfilled in the life of the king. He had been humbled. He had learned the lesson. He had been a beast for 7 years, but now he came to his senses. And most importantly, he now recognized God. Heaven rules, he says. The Most High rules over the kingdoms of men. So the purpose of the dream was fulfilled. Who would have dreamed that Nebuchadnezzar would have his kingdom restored and that he could be king again? Who knew that Nebuchadnezzar would be given a second chance? This is the best part of the tree story, right? It comes at the very end. Nebuchadnezzar lifts his eyes to heaven and says, I bless the Most High and praise and honor him who lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion and his kingdom is from generation to generation. We're told at the very first verse of this chapter that King Nebuchadnezzar is sharing that what he learned in this 7-year ordeal to his whole kingdom. No more than that, to the whole world, verse 1, to all peoples, nations, languages that live in all the earth, I declare the sign and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. And verse 3, how great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. The dream was fulfilled, and the purpose of the dream was fulfilled. What if? What if other world leaders today, what if some of today's world leaders would come to learn the same lesson and know the same God? What if we were made more sure that heaven rules and that God will fulfill his plans for this world? And that all things will work together for good, because God is sovereign, and he will see to it that his plans and his purposes for this world will ultimately be fulfilled, especially through our Lord Jesus Christ. 250 years. The United States is almost 250 years old. That's a lot of years, right? A lot of years. Been a lot of ups and downs in those 250 years of history. A lot of up and down. Many times, many Christians especially have wondered, where is he? Where is God? Where is he? Doesn't he rule? Doesn't heaven rule? Admittedly, it doesn't always appear that way. I know. But stories like this one in Daniel chapter 4 serve to remind us that he does. Heaven rules. God always rules or overrules in spite of the way that it may appear. One nation under God. Not all believe that. In fact, there are those who want to eliminate that nation model from our pledge, from our coins. If they're ever successful, it really won't matter. Some believe it, some don't. It'll always be true, though. It'll always be true. One nation under God. Under God. Heaven rules or overrules. Let none of us forget what Nebuchadnezzar had to learn the hard way. Will you pray with me? Lord God, when we came to church, we were not even thinking that it was President's Weekend. But we've had some reminders this morning, both to the children and to all of us. Remind us, O Lord, that we come from a very rich heritage, that have been served, this country has been served by so many great men. We're thankful, O Lord, for a history of presidents, talented individuals who have led, who have ruled, who have influenced our country in many ways to the good. Remind us frequently throughout this day, throughout this week, throughout the year, that we must be in prayer for our country, for our president, for things to go well, for this nation to be blessed by a holy and sovereign God. We're thankful to know as Christians, based upon the teachings of your word, that you are sovereign. Oh, there's been so many times in human history where it just doesn't appear so. In fact, to quite the contrary. As Christians, though, we know, we trust, we believe that you are sovereign over all. Every nation, every king, every prime minister, every president. This land, too, O Lord, belongs to you from ocean unto ocean. This is your country, and we pray your blessing upon it, and especially upon our president and other leaders. In Christ's name, amen.